just I would just call it the church, and then I would ask the question, which church? You understand? So if we consider what the scripture says, and we compare what Paul says with what Jesus Christ says in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, against what Paul says in Romans to Philemon, and it don't make no difference to me if people say, well, you're putting Paul above the Lord Jesus Christ. No, I'm not putting Paul above the Lord Jesus Christ, but I am putting Paul, the minister to this dispensation, above Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ was a minister to Israel, and he was not a minister to the church, which is his body. Now, there's a difference in the church that Jesus Christ started in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John as to the church that the Apostle Paul started in Acts chapter 9, and that's what I want to deal with a little bit here tonight. So would you turn to Matthew chapter 16 and Ephesians chapter 1. Matthew 16, Ephesians chapter 1. You know, any time that we have a Bible study, and that's what we call our classes, or Bible study classes, we want to know what Paul says versus what the rest of the scripture says. So if we start back in Genesis to Malachi, we know that God's mainly dealing with Israel and those that are in the covenants of promise. And when Jesus Christ is sent, and he's sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, well, the Apostle Paul is sent to the Gentiles in this dispensation. And when the rapture of the church takes place, the Lord himself will come down in the air, and we will go up to meet the Lord in the air. He's not sending no angel for us. Now, we'll see in this study, possibly if we get to it tonight, that there's this church that Jesus Christ started in Matthew, second coming, before the second coming, the Lord will send his angels, and he will gather out of the tribulation time over here by his angel. He will gather out of there all of those things that will offend it in here, and will bind them and throw them in a fire, a furnace of fire. Now, not so in Romans to Philemon. The Lord will come for the rapture of the church. There's an article in your paper today. I don't know if any of y'all read it or not. If you ain't ready, you better get ready. There's a man and wrote an article, and I forget when he said the judgment was coming, back in 1998 or 99, somewhere back there. I forget the time of it, but he missed that one. So now he said that the judgment day was May the 21st. Well, he has missed that one. So now he says the rapture is going to be in October of this year, October the 12th. Ain't that right, Norma?
21st.
October the 21st this year, the rapture is going to take place. But I don't know where he's getting this scripture from, because my scriptures don't tell me this. My scripture tells me that there ain't even nobody over here, according to the book of Mark, about the second coming. The sun don't even know this day over here, the second coming, and it can't come until after the rapture of the church and after the 7-year tribulation. And when the second coming takes place, then this church that we're going to study about in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in early Acts, then they will go into the kingdom over here. The Lord will bring the kingdom down to these people. We go up. You understand? We're already in the kingdom of His dear Son, so we got to go up to meet the Lord in the air. Now, in Matthew 16, verse 13, when Jesus came in the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And by the way, I might mention to you that the Apostle Paul in Romans to Philemon never references Jesus to the Son of Man. It's always Christ, the Son of God, never the Son of Man. Now, verse 14, and they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Well, now there's a teaching going around that Peter is the rock, and that Peter is the foundation of this church that he's talking about, that he's going to build on this church on this rock. Well, that's not so. Jesus Christ is that rock. Let's study and see if we ain't what he says. Hold Matthew and hold Ephesians. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Now, Paul told us in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7, anytime you study, I want you to remember this verse. Paul said, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. In other words, I'm going to consider what my apostle tells me. I'm not going to consider what some man writes about what the Scripture says. I'm going to consider what the Scripture says. Now, in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1, moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. Well, evidently, if you study out who the fathers are, that would be Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and those that will come out of Egypt, he's talking about here, that were baptized under Moses. Look at verse 2. And were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Did all eat the same spiritual meat? They did all drink of the same spiritual rock, for they drank of the spiritual rock. Now y'all see that rock is a capital R. Verse 4 again, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. Take two passages. Take Exodus chapter 17 and Numbers chapter 20. Exodus 17, Numbers chapter 20. Exodus 17. Numbers chapter 20. Now, I believe if we compare spiritual things with spiritual, we can understand this. It's not very hard to do this. Now, verse 1, Exodus 17, verse 1. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journey, according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide ye with me? Wherefore do you tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto this people? They be most ready to stone me. And the Lord said to Moses, go on before the people, take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thine hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the name of the place Massah. Now y'all know the story. Go to Numbers chapter 20. Numbers chapter 20. Now the people done got thirsty again now. Verse 7. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak. He didn't tell him to smite the rock. And if you'll understand and study through your scripture, when he told him to smite the rock in Exodus 17, it represents the death of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ ain't going to die but one time. So this time when they want water, God tells Moses to speak to the rock. Now verse 8, take the rock, gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes. Now watch the scriptures. And it shall give forth his water. This is a spiritual rock. It represents the Lord Jesus Christ. God said, I will stand upon the rock, Exodus chapter 17, and give you water. Smite it. When they want water again, he said, speak to it. Well, Aaron and Moses disobeyed God. Moses got so mad at the people, he smote it twice, and God told him, I'm going to let you see the promised land, but you're not going in it, and you're not going to carry the children of Israel over in it. Somebody else will do that. Now, come back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 4. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 4. And did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Well, if I understand that then, I go back to Matthew chapter 16 now. Go back to Matthew 16, verse 18. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, well, Jesus Christ is the rock, beloved, I will build my church. And then listen, it don't matter to me who says it. It's Peter is the rock. It is not. Jesus Christ is the rock. Peter ain't. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, why would the Lord say the gates of hell will not prevail against this church that he's going to build the rock that he is, that he's going to build a church on? Come on, talk to me.
Down in the earth.
This church that Jesus Christ had here. And we're going to see in Acts 2 in just a minute that the Lord added to this church. Well, I tell you what, Duke. Let's do it now while we think about it. Hold Matthew chapter 16 and go to Acts 2. Look at the terminology. You see, these people say, well, a better translation or a different book would say this and that, and you need to throw them sorry translations in the garbage and get a 1611 King James Bible and just believe it means what it says. Because I believe terminology has a lot to do with understanding the scriptures. In Matthew 16, he's talking about the gates of hell now shall not prevail against this church. Now, in Acts 2, verse 47, and we'll probably come back to Acts 2 after a little bit, but look at verse 47. Praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily, such as what? Should be saved. Well, beloved, those that believe, go back to Matthew 16. Look what Peter answered the Lord. Verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, saying, whom the men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some said John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremiah. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Verse 16, Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Beloved, those that believed that terminology right there and sold out everything they had in Acts chapter 2, the Lord added to that church daily such as should be saved. The Lord, remember, the Lord, L-O-R-D, the Lord added to that church daily such as should be saved, and they won't be saved until they endure to the end of the tribulation and get to the second coming over here when he will take away their sins. So that church back here in Matthew 16 cannot be the church that Paul's writing to in Romans to Philemon. It will not work. Let's try and see if it will. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Hold Matthew. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what the hope of his calling is, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us for who believe, according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come. Is Jesus Christ, when he resurrected after 3 days and 3 nights in the order of the earth, did he finally ascend up above all heavens, above all principality and power and might? Well, if he did, the church, which is the body of Christ, was ascended up with him. This church of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John went down into the heart of the earth, and he said the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Why? Because they are not saved. Their testimony and enduring to the end of the tribulation, second coming, salvation to them people. Our salvation is now. We are not being saved. We are saved by the gospel of Christ that Paul preached. Now, in Ephesians 1, verse 22, and hath put all things under his feet, gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Take two passages. Go back to Acts chapter 2. Told you we was coming back there. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Acts 2, 1 Corinthians, chapter 10. Now, 12, now watch the terminology, please. Now, Acts 2, verse 47 again. Praising God, having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. For by one Spirit, you see that capital S? For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether be bond or free, have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Now, go to verse 27. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. What are we members of His body? Well, is the body His church according to Ephesians chapter 1? That we read in Ephesians chapter 1, well, whole Acts 2, Matthew 16, and go, and you can drop 1 Corinthians, go to Ephesians chapter 2. You see, this church of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John back here can't go to heaven because their sins are not forgiven them yet. They have remission of sins, looking forward to forgiveness at the second coming. We look back at Calvary and see that we already have forgiveness. I'm not looking for forgiveness. I already have it. It's mine, present tense, right now. Now, in Ephesians 2, verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved, and hath raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. Now hold the fort. All you've got to do is just stop and think. Just rest, sit back, and relax. Did Jesus Christ say in Matthew 16 that the gates of hell would not prevail against this church back in that he added to in Acts chapter 2? It went down into the heart of the earth. Those saints that die go into Abraham's bosom. Now you can't miss that if you study Luke chapter 16. They go down into Abraham's bosom. We that are in the church, the body of Christ, were resurrected. We are seated above all heavens. Well, above all heavens ain't down in the heart of the earth, beloved. Can it be the same? Can being in hell and in heaven be the same thing?
No,
they're opposite. So we are looking at Ephesians 2 again with me. Verse 6. And hath, that is past tense, hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Chapter 1, verse 20. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Chapter 2, verse 6. Hath raised us up together, made us set together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved. Now, that is not the message that Peter preached. Go to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. Same preacher. Peter's doing the preaching. Same group of people. Jews. Men of Israel. Well, I'll tell you what let's do. Let's start in verse 12. Acts 3 verse 12. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel. Well, who is Peter speaking to?
Jews.
men of Israel, ain't he? Why marvel you at this, or why look you so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? In other words, Peter just got through healing a crippled man. Verse 13, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up, denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just, desired a murder to be granted unto you, killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And by the way, I made mention to you in passing this verse here because of some false doctrines that's being preached and taught in this world today, that the prince hasn't come yet. The prince won't come till the second coming. Well, I got news for you. Daniel said the prince was there, and they crucified the prince, Jesus Christ. He just said so here in verse 14. We're looking at it, Acts 3:14. But you denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murder to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, verse 15, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses, and his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I want that through ignorance you did it, as did also your rulers. Now, he's not talking about healing this man through ignorance. He's talking about denying the prince, the Holy One, and desire to murder. Now, verse 18. But those things which God before hath showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Do you see the word may? That doesn't say, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins are blotted out. He said they may be blotted out, and he tells them when this time will be. When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Now listen to me. Did he say that all these prophets spoke about the Lord? Well, now that does present a problem, don't it, to some people that don't believe the Bible? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. That presents a problem because people won't believe that book. They've heard so many fairy tales about poor Jesus dying and all that. I praise God that he died. If he hadn't died, we wouldn't have no hope. Now in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. That's only in salvation are they perfect. They're not perfect in the flesh. We still live in an unperfect body. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Beloved, had they have known that people such as us and the body of Christ would be established over here, had the princes of this world knew, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now, I know what we just read back there in Acts chapter 3. Go back there and look at it. In Acts chapter 3, verse 21, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Now listen, did he have a mystery that was committed to Paul in Acts chapter 9 that was hid from the princes of this world knew? Well, did the prophets know it? No, they did not. Now, they knew that Jesus Christ was coming into the world. They knew how he would come, when he would come. They knew how to recognize him. They knew he would spend some time training 12 men. It's prophesied in the book of Isaiah, seal the law among my disciples. He's told of the time in here in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He's told about his crucifixion. It's talked about his burial, how long he would be in the heart of the earth, and it's prophesied that he would ascend up after 3 days. They know about all of that, but they do not know why Jesus Christ had to die at Calvary. Go back to Acts chapter 2. Now let's see if Peter knows anything about this that Paul knows. Now, you got to understand, the Lord added Peter and them to this church back here. Peter is not in the church, the body of Christ. Now, people that don't believe that book. Now, in Acts chapter 2, verse 36, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they, this is the Jews, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and confess your sins. No, he didn't say that, did he? Peter is not telling these people to repent of their sins. He's telling them to repent of the attitude that they had against the Lord. Verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise is to you and to your children, and to all that are far off. And don't let somebody tell you that the United States or you in this world today are the far off. That is not so. You can find these people in Ezekiel chapter 11, Daniel chapter 9, Jeremiah 30, Isaiah chapter 40, and other places. You can find these Jews in Israel that are far off. Even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Now, watch what they do. Verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added to them about 3,000 souls. Now listen. Those 3,000 souls right there are not saved. So when they died, they can't go up to heaven. Their sins ain't paid for. They go down into the heart of the earth. They have a testimony of salvation that they believe that Jesus was the Messiah. They repented of their attitude. They were baptized. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved at the second coming. Now, verse 41, they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added to them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Fear came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, had all things common, sold their possessions and goods, parted them to all men as every man had need. Now, beloved, you will not find preachers that believe Acts chapter 2 for their salvation telling their people to sell out everything they got. They don't do that. Now these apostles, these people, these 3,000 people, these 3,000 souls that were added to this church back here, sold out everything they had. Look at it. Verse 44, and all that believed were together, had all things common, sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need, and they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now listen to me. The Lord added to this church. The Spirit of, the Holy Spirit added to this church, the body of Christ that Paul's preaching. The Lord will come for the church, the body of Christ, not the church of Matthew 16. Do you know who comes for the church in Matthew 16? Let me show you how you know the difference. Take 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Matthew chapter 13, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Beloved, the churches ain't the same. Paul is not in the church of Matthew 16. Now, in Matthew 13, verse 24, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the household came and said unto him, Sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, but least while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Now I want to find out who these reapers are. Go over to verse 36, Matthew 13, verse 36. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. Now he's fixing to tell them what we just read about. Verse 37, he answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. By the way, I might mention to you in verse 38 there, the field is the world. John 3:16, if you want to know the truth of John 3:16, God so loved the world. Why did God so love the world? His children are in the world. Now verse 38, the field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. The tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. And the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world, after the tribulation over here. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, They shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity. Who is the Lord going to send?
Angels.
The angels, right? Now watch what it says. Verse 42, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Who is he going to gather first? The tares. Go to Matthew 24. And Matthew 24 is tribulation passage. Verse 29. Immediately after tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give a light, stars will fall from heaven, the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. They shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Beloved, we're going to already be gone before that day. The rapture of the church, which is his body. And listen to me, I don't believe that man in that article said there's going to be somewhere like 200 million people going to leave here in the rapture. I don't believe that. I don't know how many is going to be there, but I don't believe there's going to be very many there. Everybody that parts the church door ain't necessarily in the church, the body of Christ. Only those that trust the gospel of Christ for salvation are in the body of Christ, because the Spirit baptizes them into the body. Those that are being baptized by water to join the church of Matthew 16 are not in the body of Christ. You can have it both ways. Now, verse 30. And then shall appear, this is immediately after the tribulation, then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, then shall all the tribes of their mourn. Well, I ain't dealing with tribes in Romans to Philemon. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Listen, he told them in Luke, when you see these things come to pass, look up. Why? They're going to see the Son of Man coming in the clouds as he went up. He went up in the cloud, and in Acts, the angel told him, why stand ye here gazing, looking up? This same Jesus whom was taken from you shall so come in like manner. He comes back in the clouds over here, and from the cloudy heaven he sends his angels down here, and they gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and bind them and throw them in a furnace of fire. Now verse 31, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. There ain't no trumpet going to be blown when the rapture takes place, beloved. People get this thing all mixed up. The trumpets are for Israel. You listen, if you would prayerfully study 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 with the 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you'll find there's three resurrections there. Or whatever you want to call them, rapture is one of them. Now, in Matthew 24, verse 31, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. They shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now, he talks to them about a parable. Go back to Matthew. Let's see if I want to do that. Matthew 13, I believe we want to go back there. Well, ain't no need in us going back to Matthew 13. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let me show you something. Now, I know he sends his angels down here, and he's going to gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and bind them and throw them in a furnace of earth. A fire. Now, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself, is he going to send an angel, or is he coming himself? The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, voice of the archangel, trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Those that are asleep will be caught up. They will stand up. We will meet them in the air to meet the Lord in the air up here. Not no angel. Do y'all know why the Lord's got to come get us? You ever thought about Daniel's prayer back then, the book of Daniel back here? Gabriel said it took me 21 days to get through all that mess up there, and they are still up there. The devil and his angels are still in power in the heavens up yonder, and they won't be kicked out until Revelation chapter 12. And we ain't going in the book of Revelation, beloved. We're not looking for the second coming. Israel is looking for salvation at the second coming. Now let's see if that ain't so. Go back to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 9. Can you get another place? Acts 3, Hebrews chapter, what did I tell you, 9? And then we'll take 1 Peter chapter 1. Now, Acts 3, we'll go there first. I want to review one thing we went over with. Verse 19. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he, the Lord, shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. Now, and he tells them when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Well, beloved, the Lord ain't coming until after the tribulation. We read in Matthew chapter 24, verse 29, immediately after the tribulation. Verse 30, he said, then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Then shall all the tribes. Beloved, the book of Revelations is written to the 12 tribes of Israel. There's just 7 angels. They're dealing with 7 plagues. God ain't pouring out plagues on this world today. And you see where they had another bad tornado in Oklahoma today, or Missouri, somewhere out that way.
Today again?
Yeah. Wasn't it today they showed that one?
Yeah, today or yesterday.
Sometime today they had a bad one out there.
There was one in Joplin, Missouri.
Yeah.
So was it Joplin?
That's it.
Was that?
Is that the one? Yeah, Joplin, yeah. Missouri.
Yeah. So there's people jumps on the bandwagon about all these signs and wonders that's going on, and we walk by faith. Are we supposed to walk by faith and not by sight? The Jews require signs over and over and over. We walk by faith, not by sight. Now, I know that these people here were told to repent and look forward to salvation at the second coming. Verse 19, Acts 3:19. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. When the time, and listen, if you got a Bible that says so, you got the wrong book. So it don't make no difference if they repent or not. When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, he's going to send Jesus Christ, whether people repent or not. It's like the day when God shut Noah in the ark and his family in the ark back there. It's too late. The door is shut and it's sealed. The church, the body of Christ, when it's full, we go out. Well, it's too late to believe the gospel of Christ then. Because when you go into the tribulation, if you've heard the gospel of Christ and reject it, God's going to send you a strong delusion that you believe a lie and be damned because you receive not the love of the truth now. This is the day of salvation. This is the day that God has set aside for men to be saved by grace through faith. Not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Beloved, Peter and them didn't know anything about being saved by grace through faith. They knew they had to endure to the end. They knew how to recognize the tribulation time. And when the tribulation time was to come on them, they were to flee and run and hide. For the great day of his wrath is come. And they did so in the book of Revelation chapter 6. They run hide. Tell the mountains to hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. And you can find that prophesied over and over and over back in the Old Testament. Not with us. We're in dispensation of grace. That's why people stand out in the lightning storm and shake their fists, and if there's a God in heaven, let him strike me dead. And walk right on off. God ain't dealing in wrath today. Now, look at Hebrews chapter 9 as if it won't match Acts 13. Hebrews 9:28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Well, how is he going to appear to them? Go to Acts chapter 1. Hold 1 Peter, go to Acts chapter 1.
In the clouds.
Sir?
In the clouds.
Right. Now, this is after his crucifixion, after his burial, and after his resurrection. He's been in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. Not a day and a half, not 2 days, not 2.5 days, 3 days and three nights, as he said he would be. Now, he's talking to the apostles here. Now, verse 9, and when he had spoken these words, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received them out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men, these angels, stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye up gazing up? Verse 11. Which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which was taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Are they looking for the sign of the Son of Man? Go back to Matthew and take Matthew chapter 24 again. We just read it a while ago, but let's be sure we know what we read here. Verse 30. Immediately after the tribulation, verse 29 now, in Matthew 24:30, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man. What is the sign? He's coming in the clouds. Every eye can see him. There ain't nobody going to see him in the rapture. We're going to hear the rapture call. If you got the Spirit of God in you, and if you ain't got the Spirit of God in you, you ain't going to hear it. So if the rapture takes place October the 21st, praise God, hallelujah. Are you ready? If you ain't, you better get ready. What if it took place tomorrow? Maybe there's somebody who believes that. No matter how many billboards that he rented. You remember?
5,000.
5,000 billboards, and there was how many?
And I don't remember the number of on the trucks.
Trucks and motorhomes or some kind of thing. He had all this stuff wrote on. and he spent thousands and thousands of that congregation's, this is a preacher, spent thousands of their dollars advertising all this stuff.
What do you call that, the mystery of iniquity?
Yeah, it's a working.
Hey.
It's a working. Now, go back, do what?
It's a working.
If it's about this, yes. Not about the dogs barking or something. No, he gave no scripture whatsoever, did he not? People that do them things do not use scripture, because you can't prove it by scripture. Listen, I tell you what, Duke. Ben, as we're talking about that, go to Mark 13. The whole Acts. Go to Mark 13. Let me show you something. Now, Mark 13 is about the tribulation time. Verse 24. But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, the moon shall not give a light, stars of heaven shall fall, the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. Is he telling them how to recognize him? When you see all of these things, then the tribulation that I wrote you about, you find them in Luke, you find them in Mark, you find them in Matthew. When you see all these things, look up. Your redemption draweth nigh. Well, beloved, we are already redeemed. Ephesians tells me we have redemption through His blood. Ephesians 1:7, we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Ain't it? You can't beat it. You can't beat this dispensation we're in. Now, watch what he says here. Verse 31. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Well, they got to be preserved somewhere. Ain't they? I ought to be able to find a book that I can put my hands on that his word is still holding true. Verse 32, but of that day, second coming, but of that day and that hour knoweth some men. No. That dude that wrote that article just wasting people's money, making fools out of themselves. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch, and pray, for you know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house, the house of Israel, beloved, and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Now, watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh, at evening, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And you can find that coming suddenly matched here in Malachi chapter 3. He will suddenly come to his temple, second coming. Now, verse 37, and what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Now, you want to match that right there? Let's hold Acts chapter 1, and then we can drop Hebrews, hold 1 Peter, and go to Revelation chapter 3. I want to match what we just read back there in Mark. when he told them to watch. I believe that was Mark 13 we read that, wasn't it? Now in Revelation chapter 3, verse 1, and unto the angel of the church of Sardis write. And by the way, you know that can't be the church, the body of Christ. So these knuckleheads that put you in the book of Revelation just yawn real big and consider them and mark them, because the church, the body of Christ, have not got any angels presiding over the church. We got men. Paul told Timothy, commit this to faithful men. Now, chapter 3, verse 1. Unto the angel of church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God, the seven stars, I know thy works. I know that thou hast a name, that thou livest and are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Now watch what he says. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Now, we just read that back there in Mark chapter 13, verse 37. We read that. My time is up tonight. I'm not through, and we never did get too much comparison out of 1 Peter. I know that 1 Peter is looking for the second coming over here. And I know according to prophecy of Zechariah and other places, and the Hebrews chapter 8, this new covenant that God's going to make with the house of Israel and Judah, that's when he'll take away their sins. So those that are down there in Abraham's bosom will be resurrected over here in the future after the rapture of the church.